Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. Nice to be with you on this Monday. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Welcome to the program. All right, a lot to get done today, and I'm going to start off with your telephone number. 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. If you would like to join this conversation and participate on Twitter, go ahead and do so. Follow me at Jim Rome. You can still email the program at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, lots of business to attend to today. Hour number one is wide open. I do have three interviews. They start in hour number two. Top of the second hour, we talk to a former NHL goaltender, Kelly Rudy. He is a Calgary Flames color analyst. Kelly Rudy joins us at the top of hour number two. Also in hour number two, a conversation with an investigative reporter for the Washington Post, Robert Klemko. In the third hour, an amazing story involving Hall of Famer Rod Carew. Rod Carew joins us in hour number three. Monday is an ATP day. Critical day today. Once again, your telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Let me start by saying, as I've said many times before, this is a sports show, a sports talk show. It is a sports show, but it is not a dumb show. It is not a clueless show. It is not a tone-deaf show. And I think it would be pretty dumb and pretty clueless and pretty tone-deaf to try to act like today is just another day to talk sports. I understand why you might want that. I understand why you might be seeking an escape. But this is not the time for that. When it comes to the issue at hand, there has been too much escapism and too many diversions for some people. So here is what we are going to do. I mentioned the three guests. They're already booked. We're going to do those interviews. But we're going to do something else as well. Something that is much bigger than sports. I want to talk about George Floyd. I want to talk about Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery and Eric Garner and Michael Brown and Tamir Rice and Freddie Gray and Walter Scott and so many more. You've heard these names before, and now we hear them once again. The thing is, you probably haven't heard the countless other names of black men and women who have been killed by police officers. When Atlanta Hawks head coach Lloyd Pierce was on this show last week, we talked about the killing of George Floyd by Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin and Pierce's reaction to it.
It's an emotional one, to be honest with you. What a tough week this has been for me personally, for African-American men, and I really think for our country. It's not right. The incident that happened in New York where the man at the Bird Park brought out his camera, and the incident that occurred where the lady accused him of assaulting her in a park and premeditated the accusation, was the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life as a black man. It's literally like watching someone accuse you of something and then having the power to make it happen. And that's the reality. And the very next day you wake up and the reality is a man was killed for no reason. And so when you put the two together, you're afraid that you've become a threat just for the skin of your color. And then the reality is, because of the skin of your color, there's a chance that your life can be taken. And so I posted that picture, and I zoomed in on my face, and I had to explain this to a lot of people. If I zoom out, you say, oh, that's Coach Pierce. When you zoom in, you just see my face, and you just see a black man. And I become just that, just the black man. And a black man is in fear right now. And so it's been an extremely tough week for me personally because of just that. I'm not an NBA head coach. I don't have any privilege. I am a black man, and that's not going to go away. The NBA head coach could. The fear of being a black man could go away, but it isn't. It hasn't. And right now, it's at its worst point. And so this has been a very tough and emotional week for me personally.
Lloyd, I want to make one more point, too. I want to read part of your post again so the people can really hear it. Quote, to think hashtag justice for Floyd could easily be hashtag justice for Lloyd, and it's because we look alike to those who discredit our existence. What does it feel like to know that that hashtag could have your name instead of his?
Sometimes you say the reality is it could happen. I think it's almost at this point the inevitable. This is no longer a one-off. It hasn't been for a while. It isn't a one-off. You know, these aren't just happening randomly. These are happening often. These are happening consistently. You know, the last one just happened to be in Minnesota. The next one could happen in Atlanta or could happen in L.A. I don't know. And who knows who it's going to be. But it's no longer just the reality. It's almost an inevitable that it's going to happen. That's why I put the tag. You know, it's not just because we have similar names. It's because we are black. And to some, that's all it needs to be. And that's what's scary.
So there's no way that you can hear that interview and not be moved, because it was Pierce speaking as a black man and not as an NBA head coach. As he said, the title of NBA head coach could fade at some point, but he will always be a black man in America. And for his entire life and lifetimes that have preceded him, that's meant the feeling of safety, of being protected, that's not an option for him. Now, here's the thing. As moved as I was by that conversation, I could not personally begin to comprehend what that might feel like. I have no idea what it feels like to live with that every single day, to know that you're never safe, to know that if the worst does happen to you, there is little chance of justice. So I cannot pretend to speak about the experience with any authority at all. I can only speak about my experience. And I'm a white man, and I'm looking to speak in particular to other white men right now. You might be tempted to turn off your radio or to change the station, but please don't, because you and I need to have a conversation. Now, it might not be a pleasant conversation. It might not be an easy conversation, but it's a very necessary conversation. I can't speak to the experience of Lloyd Pierce, but I want to try to speak to my experience. And I know a lot of you listening right now share a similar experience. Again, I am just a guy with a sports radio program. I am not an expert by any stretch. But let's acknowledge some facts, some tough facts, some things that might be painful to confront. As white men in America, we have things easier than most. It doesn't mean we have it easy, but we have it easier. This is a system that's been designed by and run by white men. I've worked very hard to get where I am. But the fact is, it's been easier for me to get where I am than it would be if I had different skin color. That's really not up for debate. We all know that. Again, it doesn't mean that it's easy, and it doesn't mean that I didn't work hard. But it's easier than if I had been born in a different zip code and had a different skin color. George Floyd died a week ago after being handcuffed and pinned to the ground by Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin. Is there any doubt in your mind that if George Floyd looked like me, he would still be alive right now? Is there any doubt in your mind that if it was my neck that officer was kneeling on, that he might have reacted differently if I was the one who said, "I can't breathe"? But I never have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about police brutality in that way at all. That's not a part of my life or my experience. I don't carry decades of that tension and fear in my body. I don't have to talk with my sons about how they should act if they're pulled over. And I don't have to live in fear every night that they may not come home because of a traffic stop that went badly. And I would imagine a lot of you listening right now are in the same boat as me. So when you see George Floyd lying on the ground and you're watching him struggle to breathe, if you are white, you and I know that we'll probably never have to live in fear of that happening to us. But just because it isn't happening to you doesn't mean it's not happening. And just because it's not happening to you doesn't mean you and I don't have a role in preventing it in the future. Too many people have died. These men and women are not statistics. They're people. Tamir Rice didn't get to celebrate his 13th birthday. Michael Brown was 18. His family never got to see him fulfill his potential. And neither did the rest of us. We all lose when this happens. But because it doesn't directly happen to us or someone who looks like us, it's too easy to just look the other way and to say, well, that's too bad. Something has to change. And then we keep right on going on with our lives. Or worse, it's too easy to look at the protests that have happened around the country and see them as problematic instead of seeing them for what they are. The protests are not the problem. Continued police brutality is. So if your reaction is to say that you wish that people would protest the continued killings in a different way, I would suggest you check in on your thoughts about Colin Kaepernick, because he peacefully protested police violence. And then what did that get him? A lot of people freaked out, and he ultimately paid the price with his career. And this is exactly what Kaepernick was protesting against. Colin Kaepernick placed one knee on the ground to protest police brutality. Derek Chauvin put one knee on the back of George Floyd's neck. Side by side, the comparison could not be any more clear. So if your reaction to the protests is, yeah, well, what about the looters? Then you've completely missed the point. And probably you're doing it intentionally. Don't waste my time or anybody else's with what about the looters. Of course nobody is defending looting. But don't confuse the looters and the protesters. And if you really want to get into a discussion about behavior that led to immoral gains, if you really want to have that conversation, we could talk about slavery, convict leasing, Jim Crow, and redlining, to name a few topics. In other words, why would you be more worried about a target than all of that? Again, I want to reiterate, I'm just a guy with a sports talk radio show. I am not a sociologist. I am not an expert. I'm not a politician. I'm certainly no expert in police reform. I don't have any great plans. But here's what I do know. What we as white men in particular have done to this point to end police brutality and institutional and systemic racism is not enough. We need to do more. We need to do better. You see, we know this is happening. This is not new. You and I know this. We've known this for a long time. But it's been easy to look away because it hasn't been our problem. And we haven't been affected by it. But the truth is, it is our problem. Maybe Rodney King was your first exposure to it. That was nearly 30 years ago. But this problem goes back further than that. This is not something that started recently. What started recently is people have video cameras, and they have phones, and they can capture it. And yet capturing one death after another on video doesn't seem to have changed anything at all. There are almost never consequences. A family and friends are left mourning the tragic killing of a loved one, and millions are left to wonder why there never is any justice. So here are a couple of more things I'm thinking about, and I hope you are too. It's not enough to claim that America is post-racial. It isn't. It is not enough to claim that we're colorblind. We aren't. And generally speaking, the vast majority of people who claim to be colorblind are white. And it's not enough to say that we aren't racist. We need to be anti-racist. We need to be actively fighting against racism. We need to be calling it out. We need to be looking at ourselves and seeing what conscious or unconscious bias we hold. We need to be holding our friends accountable when they say or do racist things. We need to be learning about institutional racism and identifying it. We need to be learning about structural racism, identifying that and taking it down. It's not enough to just encourage people to vote. We need to be making sure that people have the ability and access to vote. Like, tragically, none of this is new. But what can be new is how you and I respond to it. I am going to try. I invite you to come along. This is not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. The telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. If you want to react on Twitter, go ahead and do so at Jim Rome. Again, I do have three interviews. I'm going to do the interviews. Kelly Rudy next hour. Robert Klemko next hour. Rod Carew in hour number three. And our phone lines are open. I've got other things I want to get to as well. But as I mentioned, it would be very tone deaf not to discuss this. And of course we are. We'll come right back. Now more than ever, we need people with the right skills to support our communities, especially the frontline workers who provide resources and care for those most in need. To help, LinkedIn is offering free job posts for healthcare and essential service organizations that need to quickly fill critical roles with the people who help us all. If you're hiring for one of these organizations, job posts on LinkedIn can help you quickly find the right people for your front line. LinkedIn can help you find frontline workers from its active community of over 675 million members. LinkedIn Jobs screens candidates for the skills and the experience that you're looking for and puts your job post in front of qualified people who meet your requirements so you can find the right person to quickly fill critical roles. To post a healthcare or essential service job for free, or if you're in another industry and you have hiring needs, visit LinkedIn.com/Rome, LinkedIn.com/Rome. Terms and conditions do apply. LinkedIn.com/ROME.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back once again. Good to have you on this Monday morning, Monday afternoon, wherever you are. As a reminder, on Mondays, we do Ask the Pros, where you clones get to ask me a question, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question there. Listen later on. I might answer yours. And in the meantime, you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I know it was an extremely taxing and difficult weekend. So, frankly, if you were looking to pop on the radio or TV this morning to this program to get away from all of that, that's not going to happen. Again, I think that'd be very tone deaf. I understand why you might want to. And if that's the case and you need a break, I understand that too. But this is an issue that we're going to talk about. And some other things as well. On a lighter note, if it makes sense, I will continue to talk about Smack Off season. We're now 18 days out, if it makes sense. I've got another player profile ready. And I'll have that for you a little bit later on, if it makes sense. We can talk some sports. There was a fight night over the weekend in Nevada. Some really interesting fights and a really good fight card that I did take in. I have thoughts on that. The second part of that Lance Armstrong doc ran. And now that I've watched the entire doc, I still can't figure out exactly what the purpose of that doc was. And thoughts on what Lance had to say last night, which I'll get to too. 1-800-636-8686. Former NHLer Kelly Rudy also has an important message. We'll have him at the top of the hour. Robert Klemko in hour number two. And Rod Carew has an amazing story. And he's going to come on and tell that story in the last segment of the program in hour number three. And that's how it sets up. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Oakland. Rob in Oakland. Nice to have you on the show, Rob. How are you?
Man, I'm doing good, Rome. I'm at work, and I just had to hit you up, bro, and give you your proper due, man. I've already had mad respect for you, brother. The fact that you going this way, bro, you are the dopest dude on the block and also on everything I love, man. I appreciate you so much for speaking out. Using your platform, bro, to speak on this is so dope to me, bro. And I appreciate you, man. Obviously, I'm a black man. I live in Oakland, California. I'm a 6'6 guy. And every single day, bro, it's like, I hope I can make it home. I don't get in my car unless my wallet is on the dash. You know what I mean? And it's like one of those things. If I get pulled over, like I have gotten pulled over, you know, in the midst of all of this stuff that goes on. And first thing I say to the police officer, man, you know, when he gives me directions or whatever, it's like, man, it's, are you sure it's okay for me to reach for my wallet? Is it sure? Are you sure it's okay for me to, you know, put my hands up or whatever? Are you absolutely sure? You know what I mean? This is the kind of stuff that we live with on a daily basis. I got a 16-year-old son. He's bigger than me. He's like 6'8". You know what I mean? And I fear that, you know, something like that would happen to him. You know, you never know. So I'm always coaching him up when stuff like this happens, man. So that's my experience, man. I just wanted to let you know I love you. From this is dope to me, bro, the fact that you're doing this, and I appreciate you, Jim Rob.
I appreciate you too, Rob. Thank you very much. I mean, this is what I'm trying to say. I can only speak. I'm no expert. Certainly no expert on any of this. I'm the host of a sports talk radio program. I can only speak to my experience. The story that he just told and the experience that he just shared, I've heard before, certainly. But I've never experienced that. And this is my point. I couldn't begin. I mean, I'm kind of shaking even hearing that, but I couldn't begin to imagine what that would be like or to have those kind of conversations. As I mentioned, I don't have those conversations with my sons. You know, I mean, listen, the preparation that went into driving home. Did you hear the way he laid that out? The things that he had to do just to drive home, to set up the drive home. I don't have to worry about any of that. I don't have to think about any of that. That's not something that I live with and have lived with for years or decades. And yet to hear him tell it, he's living with that on a daily basis and always has. And is telling his son and is coaching him up and prepping him for it. I appreciate you sharing your thoughts, Rob. Thank you very much. 1-800-636-8686. I mean, again, I can't even imagine. I just know we have to do more. Back to the phones. As I said at the very top, this was not going to be an easy day. This was not going to be a pleasant conversation. Some of you are not going to want to have this conversation. Some of you, I'm sure, took great offense to what I said off the top. But it's a conversation that we have to have. one 800 636 8686. Let's go to Arkansas. Ross in Arkansas. Nice to have you on the show, Ross. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing today, Ron?
Good.
Well, I'm angry down here. I mean, I think we're all a little angry, but as I sit and I think about this, and I look at my family, and I look around, and I see my, you know, my brothers and my sisters all over this country, we're all facing a problem right now of ignorance. And uneducation, we're not talking about the things we need to talk about. And I'm talking about the police officers, too. So I watch police officers shoot tear gas at reporters and at people in my own city, in my own state, and in my own country, because we're scared of each other. This division that's been created, the police officers need the education, too. They should be demanding more training. I mean, just they have to look at what's going on. We all have to look at what's going on. We're not teaching each other about how we've stolen histories from each other. We've stolen whole entire cultures from each other. And this is what we have now. And this division is only going to continue to make it worse and worse. And what I'd like to tell everybody is go home. Talk to your kids. Talk to your teachers. Talk to your preachers. Talk to anybody. But start talking. Stop burying this under the rug. And that's all I got, Ron. Thank you for doing this today.
Thank you, Ross. Thank you very much. You know, I'm looking at some of the reaction right now on social. I got to say this too. For those of you who want to say that this is, quote, white guilt, or that I'm doing this for some sort of agenda, it's not that. It's not that at all. And you're embarrassing yourself when you come in with something like that, an agenda. No, you know what? You're right. I do have an agenda. All right, I'll own that. I do have an agenda. You know what my agenda is? To get it right. To get this right. That's my agenda. You're right. I do have an agenda. My agenda is to get this right. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so our phone lines are lit up right now. Again, I could easily do the entire program on this. We may do the entire program on this. But I do have three interviews that are booked, and they're three very, very good interviews on some different topics. Robert Klemko will join me to talk about this topic. He's covering it in Minneapolis. But former NHLer Kelly Rudy also has a really interesting story to tell. We'll have him at the top of the hour. Rod Carew has an amazing story to tell that you may or may not know. And that's coming up in hour number three. ATP today, smack off number 26, is now in 18 days. And more thoughts on this when we return. But first, I've got a bottom of the hour sports update for you.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, checking out some of the tweets. Let me give you a couple of these. Spoonie Love 7, quote, 20-year listener. Goodbye, Jim. Goodbye, Spoonie. Alda Irio 3 at Jim Rome. You are so damn see-through. You too, brother. Goodbye. Hey, Bartman 1 at Jim Rome. Yes, Rome. Bye. Goodbye, Bartman 1. Farewell, Bartman. And thank you for the three more tweets that you sent after you allegedly left, Bartman. Hey, y'all, don't let the door hit you. 1-800-636-8686. We are taking telephone calls. You know, a lot of teams and a lot of brands have released statements over the last few days. Most of them are fairly unmemorable. But then you have the Washington Wizards. And the players there released a statement on Twitter that is memorable. Quote, we will no longer tolerate the assassination of people of color in this country. We will no longer accept the abuse of power from law enforcement. We will no longer accept ineffective government leaders who are tone deaf, lack compassion, or respect communities of color. We will no longer shut up and dribble. End of quote. You know, the days of shut up and dribble are over. In fact, they should have never existed to begin with. The argument that athletes should not speak out about social issues has always been a terrible argument. Telling athletes to stick to sports when they speak out about their own life experiences has never been about sticking to sports. It's been about ignoring what athletes have been saying. Like, it's been about plugging your ears and shouting down the life experience of the people you cheer for because their message makes you uncomfortable. It's got to be over now. It needs to stop now. Boston Celtic Jaylen Brown drove 15 hours from Boston to Atlanta to march in his hometown. Tobias Harris marched in Philadelphia. Members of the Minnesota T-Wolves joined former NBA player Steven Jackson on Friday. He spoke about his friend, George Floyd.
I'm here because they're not going to demean the character of George Floyd,
that's right.
My twin. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when police do things that they know that's wrong, the first thing they try to do is cover it up, mm-hmm. and bring up your background, mm-hmm. to make it seem like the bull that they did was worthy.
Right.
When was murder ever worthy?
Never.
But if it's a black man, it's approved. You can't tell me when that man had his knee on my brother's neck, taking his life away with his hand in his pocket, that smirk on his face didn't say I'm protected. You can't tell me that he didn't feel that it was his duty to murder my brother and that he was fine with it, that he knew he was going to get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me that wasn't the look in his face.
There was more reaction. Others, Houston Rocket, Thabo Sefolosha, who suffered a broken leg and torn ligaments in an incident with the police in 2015, said that seeing the video of George Floyd brought back terrible memories. He said, quote, I was just horrified by what I saw. That could have been me. End of quote. Michael Jordan issued a statement that read in part, quote, "I don't have the answers, but our collective voices show strength and the inability to be divided by others. We must listen to each other, show compassion and empathy, and never turn our backs on senseless brutality. We need to continue peaceful expressions against injustice and demand accountability. Our unified voice needs to put pressure on our leaders to change our laws, or else we need to use our vote to create systemic change. Every one of us needs to be part of the solution, and we must work together to ensure justice for all," end quote. Yesterday, Atlanta Braves legend Dale Murphy put forth a string of powerful tweets about his son's experience protesting in Denver. Dale Murphy tweeted, quote, "Last night my son was shot in the eye with a rubber bullet while peacefully protesting for justice for George Floyd. His story is not unique. Countless others have also experienced this use of excessive police force while trying to have their voices heard." He went on, quote, "Luckily, his eye was saved due to a kind stranger that was handing out goggles to protesters shortly before the shooting and another kind stranger that drove him to the ER. Others were not so lucky and will be permanently disabled due to excessive police force." The tweet goes on, quote, "As terrible as this experience has been, we know that it's practically nothing compared to the systemic racism and violence against black life that he was protesting in the first place. Black communities across America have been terrorized for centuries by excessive police force." Dale Murphy continues, quote, "If you're a beneficiary of systemic racism, then you will not be able to dismantle it at no cost to yourself. You will have to put yourself at risk. It might not always result in being physically attacked, but it will require you to make yourself vulnerable," end quote. That's Dale Murphy talking about the experience that his son had. So to me, the conversation right now does not need to be about what is and is not an appropriate form of protest. It needs to be about the issues that are being protested. It needs to be about the videos that we keep seeing, the lives that are being taken. It needs to be about the excessive use of force by police on black men and women, and the fact that there really are rarely consequences. And those of us who only experience moments like this by watching our TV or going to our phones, at this point, need to do more than just merely observe. Those of us who are not directly impacted by this on a daily basis, those of us who do not have to deal with the fear that Lloyd Pierce or that caller from Oakland talked about, can do more and have to do more. I think Dale Murphy said it extremely well. If you're a beneficiary of systemic racism, then you will not be able to dismantle it at no cost to yourself. You'll have to put yourself at risk. It might not always result in being physically attacked, but it will require you to make yourself vulnerable, end quote. You know, and if you're one of those people who are tweeting now, that's it, Rome. Now you've done it. I've been a listener for 20 years. Not anymore. I'm going to say, all right, farewell. Farewell. Because we do have a challenge in front of us. And those of us who are comfortable need to be made to feel uncomfortable. Because if you're comfortable right now, this is the problem. If you're comfortable right now, that's the problem. Checking out the call screen right now. 1-800-636-8686. I'm going to go to Nashville. Kenny in Nashville. Thanks for your patience. Mr. Kenny, how are you?
I knew you wouldn't run from this issue. And I tell you, I've listened to you for years, never call. You can tell I don't have a radio voice, but this is so passionate to me. I graduated got my master's in criminology about 40 years ago, nearly 40 years ago. And that was the age of police enlightenment. And the big thing was that to address the issue of us against them mentality and police forcing. And unfortunately, it's still alive today. The problem is, that's the only profession where the people with the least amount of knowledge and experience have the most discretion. And it's always been a problem. And I was hopeful 40 years ago when, when I was getting my degree that we would bring a change, but unfortunately, it just hadn't happened yet, and it's just heartbreaking. And that's all I have to say, and I love your work. Thank you.
Thank you, Kenny, very much. Kenny in Nashville, it is heartbreaking. Look, I'm saying, you know, for those of you who are coming in with, it's just white guilt, you have an agenda. My first response was, oh, I don't have an agenda. But then, no, you're right, I do. I have an agenda. My agenda is to get it right. I'm saying that it's not okay to continue to see black men and women that are killed by police officers. I mean, it's a pretty simple thing. It's a pretty basic thing. And if you want, it's a really simple thing. And if you want to call that an agenda, you're telling on yourself. Are you okay with the fact that time and time again, we see this or read about this? Is that okay? Is that okay with you? It's a very simple question. Because it's not okay with me. And I want to see if there's not something that we can do about this without deflecting, without saying, yeah, but, and then immediately trying to change the subject to some other statistic that you've got in your pocket for moments like this. That's my agenda. To do better. To try to get it right. To say, I'm not okay with it. You're right. That is my agenda. To do better and to get it right. Coming up at the top of hour number two, Kelly Rudy is a Calgary Flames color analyst. So we will talk about some other things with him. Robert Klemko is an investigative reporter for the Washington Post. We will discuss this with him. He's covering it. And as I mentioned, Rod Carew, class of 1991 Hall of Famer, has got an absolutely amazing story that you may or may not know that I want to get into. Let's go to Idaho this time. Carla in Idaho. Hi, Carla. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
I want to thank you for having this conversation. This has been something that I've been kind of really crying over quite a bit here lately. I am a white woman, and I have to deal with my own biases, and I'm also a teacher, and teachers in particular, we've been blamed or are told that we have biases in the classroom, and that's something that we need to be aware of. And something that we are teaching currently right now is having a growth mindset. And that's something that our whole nation, I think, needs to have. And there's the, we talk about the power of yet. A kid might say, I can't read this or I can't do this math problem. And we'll say, you can't yet. And that's something that the nation needs to hear. We may not be there yet, but if we all say, I'm willing to work towards having a new mindset in the way I see people of different color than myself, and we say yet, and I'm willing to be a listener and not get fragile as a white person and boo-hoo, I'm horrible and all of that, then we can hopefully get over the prejudice and the bias that has been in our nation far too long.
I appreciate your thoughts too, Carla. Thanks so much. So she's saying that this, as a teacher, this is what we were teaching. This is what we were teaching. We're trying to establish a new mindset. I want to be very, very clear about this. I am no expert. I'm merely a sports talk show host, and I can only go by my experience. That's just my experience. So I can't even begin to imagine what it's like to have the experience as a black man or woman who's had to deal with this. As I mentioned, I don't need to formulate a strategy when I leave work to get home. I don't need to have these conversations with my sons about what to do in the event they're pulled over. Let's go to Northern California. Russell in Northern California. Nice to have you, Russell. How are you?
I'm great, Jim. Thanks for listening to me. I thank you for using your platform to speak on this matter. I am a black man here in the Bay Area. I was raised in Oakland. I have two grown sons. One is 23, one is 18. Since they was 10 years old, I had to have that conversation with them of interaction with police. Unfortunately, this time last year, now these things that have been going on with police brutality and just random white folks hunting down and murdering black men didn't just pop up. They have been ongoing, and it is an environment that is introduced and fed and fertilized to manifest and grow into our society. Case in point, last year of March, my youngest son was about to start baseball in high school, graduate, and some clowns, some terrorists in his class, four of them, racially attacked him. It was a hate crime. It was swastikas. It was penises, reference to his name and his sport that he plays. And instead of those four terrorists who sat in the class with my son being charged with a hate crime, they were slapped on the wrist with vandalism, given 5 days vacation from school, and then allowed to graduate early. They never received any kind of punishment. There was never no documentation. So now three of them are in the United States military. More than likely, they'll go into law enforcement. One of the terrorists that did this to my son, his father is a full-blown colonel in the United States military. They got away with a slap on the wrist. The school did nothing. They tried to cover it up. I had to get rid of the superintendent. The police department here in Fairfield did nothing. I had to get rid of the police chief. The DA told me, my wife, and Dr. Amos Brown of the NAACP that the swastika was not an image of hate, so therefore there was nothing they could do. This is how things manifest. And then we wonder why we see these images play out. Just like the gentleman said earlier, you know, it's okay. You have that smirk, like Steven Jackson said. You got that smirk because you're covered up. I'm protected. I'm privileged. I can do this. And
Russell, let me jump in, and I'm sorry to do so. I'm at the end of the hour, but I want to make sure I gave you as much time as I possibly could. As I mentioned, I cannot begin to imagine –